Let us talk together now. Very simply, as men.
Trey, I am stoked that you're here. You've been to my house before. We were working on some music at one point.
Yeah, yeah. And we've hung out. I love this vibe at this house. It's cool.
I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad I'm here with you.
I'm glad you texted me that I'm outside your front door freezing. And I said, why don't you just knock on the door? And then I walk out and you're at my neighbor's house. So it's been a while since you've been here.
Yeah, and I'm talking to the nest. So they're going to have a fun time. Hopefully they don't put out what I said. It's not rated R. It would be PG-13. No, it would be PG. Okay. It'd be PG, but it's just like, who is this dude?
It's like, dude, just knock on the door if you're here.
I'll put a smile on their face, though, if they do watch it.
That's what you do, dude. You put smile on people's... You've made me laugh a lot over the years. So, I'm trying to think of like how I would describe you, what you do. You're an actor. You've done real estate. I knew you back in the security days.
Yeah.
I've probably known you for 15 years.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it could be more.
Maybe more. Yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah.
But you've had an interesting life. And what happened was, like, why you're here is I usually go to the gym really early in the morning. Mm-hmm. And one day I woke up and I'm like, I feel like I should go later in the day. So I think I took my kids to school and I'm like, I'm going to go later. And that was the first time I'd done that, I think, really ever, like, where I thought, like, I should just go later. And I ran into you. We had a pretty long conversation.
Yeah.
And I had this, oh, that's why you were supposed to go, because you and I are supposed to reconnect after a lot of years. And I had no idea what you've been through. You've been through some significant life changes since I've last seen you.
Yeah.
Pretty notable events. And so let's get started there. Like, why don't you introduce yourself, what you do, and then go into this podcast is helping men feel alone, less alone in their struggles. And so let's just dive in there. Does that sound good?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So what do I do?
Yeah. What do you do? Because I don't know fully. You do a lot of stuff.
Yeah. It really depends on the day. I guess I don't know if this is a dorky thing to say, a renaissance man is whatever's flowing.
It's fine.
Get in that flow state. I do love all kinds of things. I love writing music. If you've ever watched ESPN, you probably heard a lot of it. I mainly love doing rock
music.
Yes,
you do.
Yeah. I love investing in real estate. I love crypto. I love just stocks. Just always learning. I love to learn about stuff. It's just very fun for me. I did a lot of sales. I don't do that as much, but it's always a part of, I'm a businessman. I love that. And then film. I love film, and things are starting to move. That's been an interesting life, trying to, you know, I guess move up in the scene, having a moral code. It's my look is very interesting in the film world. It's either like action or comedy, and usually that falls into stuff I really wouldn't want my three girls to see. So there's been cool opportunities, but it's just stuff I had to turn down because it's just not for me. We don't need nude scenes. Sometimes I think like film, when there's nude scenes, it's just, oh, this is weak writing. Why do you need this? Anyway, that's a tangent. But yeah, I do all kinds of stuff. I love to hang with friends. I'm blessed to be in a situation where I can just hang out and just try to be present the best that I can, which is a work in progress, being present. We talked a little bit about that. I think we're quite the event-driven people right now. But I'm going, that's what I do.
You do a lot of stuff. That's the point is you're always doing something. You're pushing the boundaries. You're always learning. I see that just by knowing you. Have people told you you're a Will Ferrell lookalike?
Why did you start us off like this? Now I got to go do self-affirmations in the mirror. Do some Stuart Smalley work.
This is a strength.
Oh, yeah. See, this is a good thing for me to be present so I could be enough, which I'm working on.
Yeah. Tell me about that.
Yeah, this is actually a great segue. I was divorced almost 2 years ago, and I was married to a wonderful person.
After being married for how long?
Almost 17 years, I believe.
Okay.
You know, we had three girls, and it was just two cool people that just didn't really necessarily work. But we did give I'd say we'd give it our all. I think a lot of people want to jump to divorce. And I've talked to plenty of guys that are like, dude, I think I need to get a divorce. I'm like, time out, dude. What have you actually done to make sure that this is a good decision? And if it's really that bad, I'll say maybe give separation a whirl. Mm-hmm. So you can actually see what it's like to be a mom.
Oh yeah, to do everything.
A lot of dudes have not a freaking clue what that looks like. And it's a mass awakening where I think in separation, I think both the man and the woman get to have a little bit of a different perspective or respect for one another for what they actually do. Mm. So that's a good thing that I always recommend to people that are thinking about it, because it's not peaches and cream afterwards, like at all. Because one thing for me post-divorce is you can't really point fingers anymore. Like I'm where I am because you did this and X, Y, and Z. It's like you in the mirror looking at yourself. And as far as I started to see a therapist, and he sized me up. I've done a lot of therapy.
Is this pre-divorce?
This is post-divorce. But I had to. I love therapy. I love brain typing. That's another thing that I do. It's we use a little bit of the Myers-Briggs type of stuff, but it's on steroids, where we're also looking into the motor skills of people and the behavior. But this therapist, he sized me up very quickly. He says,
I like that you're laughing.
I love to be the man. There's this side of me that's I like to be. Uh-huh. The alpha.
And he told you that?
So I'll tell you what he said. Okay. I'm going to tell him to watch this. So Arch, like within, I don't know, 15 to 20 minutes, he goes, yeah, he may have even cut me off. He's, yeah, so you're an adult child and you have massive fear of abandonment.
Ouch.
And I'm like, no, I'm the man. I go in the room. I am the presence. Mm. That's in my head, right?
Disregard.
Yeah, like, I'm just like, no, I don't have fear of it. I get what I want. Like the ego is flared, right? The peacock, everything's coming out, the like silverback. And he spent a little bit more time on that, telling me what that meant. And I just said, hey, I'm here, right? I want to always be working on myself. And he was extremely helpful in breaking some things down. And he actually even recommended this. This is another thing, a shot to the ego, right? And we can maybe talk about the power of now later on. But he says, you need to go to a men's group. I'm like, okay. And then I said, well, what do you do? And he's, I recommend you go to Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous. And then I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. I'm not a sex addict. He says, there's and love Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous. Mm-hmm. Because I think this was after we talked for maybe two or three sessions, I believe. But I said, I don't want it, because what do people find out? There's that three-letter word at the beginning of that group. And I just felt this humbling feeling like, go and do this. And who cares? If I can learn something and I can lower my pride and ego, suffocate the ego, which I got to do and starve every day. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us do. I decided to go, and I learned that I do have some issues where my addiction it's never enough. Mm. And he also asked me a question. He says, so what's your goal? And I said, like, I said it right off the bat. I said, I would love to be at peace, being at peace. I don't know how to do that. Just being chill. If we're just really just chilling, I'll come in and self-sabotage and go, you got to do more. You're not doing anything to myself internally. It's, you're not accomplishing anything. You're not dominating. You're not winning. What trophy are you getting? And that's been something that I've really been working on, because I am so event-driven, which going in this search for happiness, I don't know what we want to call it. We are so event driven, and if we want to talk about God,
what do you mean event driven?
Okay, so so when I was a kid, I didn't understand, why did people reject Christ? Okay. Why did they reject him? They would see miracles. Why would they do this? Why would the Pharisees reject this guy? Mm-hmm. And lately, things have started to make more sense. So event driven, we are all about goals, which are great, right? And so we work for these goals, and I can just go in my own personal life. Okay, so once I accomplish this, once I'm worth this much, once I buy this, then I will be happy. Then I will be. And every time those things were accomplished, I was actually more depressed. Mm-hmm. It was a letdown because I was not seeing the joy in the process of getting there. It's always, once it gets here, the guy that saves himself to one day have sex with his wife, you just create this event, and maybe when it happens, it's not as cool. Mm-hmm. You're just thinking about all of these things. Once I get there, then I'll be. When I look at the life of Christ and those that were around him, these Pharisees or whatever, maybe when they're reading in the Old Testament, in their mind, they're reading this thing that in their mind, they're creating this thing of Christ is supposed to come in on a unicorn with gold plated whatever. And, sure. And he's just, it's this. And so when he shows up on a donkey, dirty clothes, he's hanging out with some hoodlums as an apostle, they reject it because it's event driven. No, this is a letdown. He was supposed to be like this. And so this expectation of this is how it's supposed to be, it ends up being a letdown. So mm-hmm. then they reject him with their pride and ego.
Yes. This is so fascinating. I've had these thoughts of how could Judas betray Christ? And then realizing what they thought the Messiah was going to be, like, even in our lives, it's like we think, why can't my life be easier? Why can't this be taken away from me? Why can't Christ do, we create the Christ that we want, and then we miss the mark, we miss the real thing. So this makes a ton of sense.
Yes. And so I was having a really hard time with just post-divorce, right?
Yeah,
seeing
so hard.
My kids struggling, of course, missing my ex, like she's a wonderful person, and just the loneliness. Like you walk in, like anybody that's thinking about divorce, just you're going to go home and it's going to be a silent house and it's going to be very quiet. And the silence is deafening and it hurts. And I went to this thing that I did not want to go to, a family event. And my aunt Joanne said, have you ever read The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle? And so anyway, I read it and I was fascinated by it. And
did you listen or read?
I listened to it. I think I've listened to it 4 to 5. Oh, yeah.
Is that bell? The German
which
accent.
I thought it was so dorky, but then I'm into it now.
Yeah, I'm
right?
into it. Yeah.
Because I'm just like, yeah, it got to be tough. So anyway, I am listening to that book, reading however we want to say. And it was really striking a chord with me, man. And I had this thought of like, I want to better learn and study Christ, right? And, you know, when I was younger and even in my 20s, 30s, it's like I'll read sometimes, but I never went totally in and went in deep with maybe just one verse. But I just said, I want to study Christ. And
how come
I didn't
deeper? How come you really want to, like, why now?
Because there's, when it's not enough, there's perfectionism. So I struggle with perfectionism. Like you could ask Scott Wiley at June Audio. You could say, who's the worst person to mix music for? He'll say Trey. This guy's done stuff
indecisive?
With huge bands. I want it to be perfect.
Okay.
Like I'm like this mad scientist. When I do something art or anything, it has to be perfect and I'll obsess over it. Like
it's a control
thing. It is total control. Yeah. And Scott has even gotten up and left the room, like mad at me. And it's, yeah, this is an issue because this guy's a pro. He's worked with huge bands, mm-hmm. right? That are MTV or that MTV isn't MTV. But you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Just really big bands. And I'm driving him mad. And I'm driving myself mad. So all these little things where I'm really trying to work on why do I do what I do? But yeah, the perfectionism. So I'm like, I am working on breaking up with my childhood God creation as a kid of what such and such leader said that this is how it's supposed to be. And they all had the best intentions. It's just my mind would go, oh, like it's got to be perfect. And I would think I played football. So on Friday night, I thought I threw an interception because I did such and such sin on Monday. Right. And wow. I don't deserve it. I'm getting punished.
Wow.
And I took that to heart. So it's okay, The Power of Now and a couple other things that I've been reading, going to the men's group, all this stuff, and just saying, I'm just going to lay it all out there. People will pay for golf lessons or they'll go pay for whatever lessons, how to get better at the guitar or the synth or whatever, but they don't want to pay for life lessons on how to get better. So I'm doing that. And I start digging deeper into the life of Christ and how it's not this, I'm going to punish you. It's completely opposite, right? When it's saying being present, trying to be present is a workout every day, because I will take past. I'm a very empirically driven dude. What has worked in the past, and I become event driven, where I'm really trying to just focus on looking at the beauty, literally, of this leaf, like the art of this is God right here, right?
Yeah.
Seeing just the things that are happening, enjoying this moment, going, this is fantastic. I'm hanging out with my friend Eric that I absolutely respect, that you said, I'm going to do this, and you're doing it. That's a miracle to me. That's so going back to Christ, it's crazy how often he talks about being present. He says the kingdom of God is in you now, like right now.
Not if you do this.
Yes, not if you, like, and also if we're also talking about mercy and whatnot, how many times do we see him forgive people, like literally on the spot? There's no scarlet letter given. There's no, well, you need to go do this and that. He just forgave them. But something that really hit me very hard, and it's very simple, and I knew that this took place, but so Christ was crucified, and it's one of the worst ways to be tortured. If anybody hasn't studied what the body experiences, it's absolutely gnarly.
Horrific.
Yeah, and if you do want to look into what happens, just expect it's horrific. So there's two dudes on the side of Christ, right? They we don't know exactly what they did, but they did qualify to be crucified. So they had to have done something pretty gnarly, a sin, if you will. But I was reading that one of the dudes, both of them from, I believe, were mocking him along with the group. If you're Christ, save us, man. Show him. Save us if you're like this powerful, whatever. One of them with time started to recognize that this man is, this is, there's a vibe here that's different, right?
Mm-hmm.
After all that they've done to this man, his heart becomes softened. And I'm not going to nail what he said, but as far as what the scripture says, but he essentially says, remember me, will you remember me after this life?
Mm-hmm.
And Christ looks at him and says, you will be with me in paradise today. And it hit me really hard that sometimes we will whip ourselves, or we don't think that we qualify for blessings, because we're not good enough, or it's not enough. And Christ knows our heart. No matter how many times we make mistakes, or let's say poor choices, right?
Mm-hmm.
He knows our heart. And that's something I'm really working on doing. Because I remember, you know, the Da Vinci Code?
The book? Dan Brown?
Yeah. You know,
the self-flagellation.
I'm watching the movie when the guy's whipping himself.
Paul Bettany. Love that actor.
Yeah. I had to walk out during that part, because that's something I can do. I'm capable of doing, of just whipping myself, thinking I don't qualify for God's love. And love is an interesting thing. And I hope that people can have children. Because when I had my daughters, you know, I'm a single guy right now. I'm not married and whatnot. And sometimes love, I'm going, is that possible? Yeah. I do have a great example of unconditional love, because when you're a father or a mother of to your children,
mm-hmm.
there's nothing you wouldn't do. If they do something that's absolutely gnarly, out of line, whatever, you still love them. You know, it's good to be boundaried and be a parent right now, but it's a love that is just immense, right? And so I believe that Heavenly Father, Heavenly Mother, they love us. We can't comprehend what that is, mm-hmm. right? And looking at Christ's life and the love of God and whatnot, it's not as like being whipped and all this kind of stuff.
I'm hearing you say it's not merit-based.
No.
Yeah, no. The opposite, right?
Because the thing is, it's like doing like the men's group, for example. I'm talking to all walks of life, man. I'm talking to men that cross-dress, that struggle with X, Y, and Z. And some people might judge this. Oh my gosh, how could they do this? That's so sick. And I'm going, time out. Do you know this individual's upbringing? In the men's group, you can't say Jesus or God. And there's a reason for that. And I did. And they kindly told me, it's just, there are some men that were abused in the name of Christ, right? Sure. And if I wish that there was this superpower before people start judging so-and-so, I wish they could just play like a little trailer, a little film of what that individual might have experienced. And I think everybody would chill out immensely and have far more love for this individual. Because we all have that inner child, right? It's funny how 12, 13, 14-year-old Trey will overtake the Trey now. Mm-hmm. And this is stuff that we always got to be working on. Like, why did I do that? What were my intentions here? Why did I need this validation? Why did I suddenly become in a better mood because so-and-so noticed my amazing, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I'm just looking
at this.
This
is very relatable, man. Yeah. You are not alone in these thoughts.
Yeah. So it's like, why wasn't I happy beforehand? And I think I'm finding in my own life and others as well, if we focus on being happy just by ourselves, just with nothing going on, just being with you, it's a little bit better. Now, it's hard. I'm a work in progress. Mm-hmm. I have not made it. I don't think I'm ever going to make it. You know, in the 12-step program, it's just like, you're never recovered. Like, you're recovering. And I've learned, dude, the moment I think I got it is when I don't.
Yeah. So true. You know, dude, pride is the fall. That is the caveat. That is the thing that kicks off all the rest of the bad stuff, is just pride.
Yes.
Thinking that we think something that's not true, higher of ourselves, even lower of ourselves, even thinking, oh, I'm not worthy to have this. Like you thought, I'm not worthy to have God's love. That's pride, isn't it?
Oh yeah. It's the ego. And it's really interesting. Sometimes, people of faith or whatever, they'll be like, the adversary is throwing the fiery darts at you and all this stuff. It's like, sometimes I think he actually doesn't need to do anything. We take the reins and we punish ourselves. Like sometimes the adversary might be like, hey, we're going to leave him or her be. I think they got it actually, where we do self-inflicted pain, you know, emotionally or mentally. And those are the things that I know I'm working on right now, you know, where it is enough. I have enough. I'm okay. God loves me. Christ came. There's a reason why he came, because he knew we were going to blow it. Not once.
Every day.
Thousands. Me, millions of times.
You're the exception. You're millions. Yeah, I mean, thousands.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is so refreshing, dude. I feel the same way. This is the whole point of Christ. Not to reward the perfect, not to have you beat yourself into love. You can't hurt yourself into love.
No, I like that. Did you come up with that? You can't hurt yourself into love?
I'm riffing right now. Yeah.
There's your book.
Okay. I think about this a lot. Like, how do we come to God? And it's, you can be humbled on your own, or you can be humbled. One's a lot less painful, but they do lead to similar outcomes in Christ. So you talked about your childhood. And I've said this before on the podcast, but it's pretty interesting that how we view God is how our fathers were in our lives, their personality traits and how they acted towards us, just or unjust, or what they cheered or what they praised and what they put down. We inevitably give those characteristics to God until we go and deconstruct and relearn and discover God for ourselves. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you already know this, but it just helps me when I'm talking to people, like how they experience God, to know that it's so subjective from their experience, and to not judge anyone on how they see God because they've all had such a different upbringing experience. So I think that's really cool that you said, I wish I could see a trailer of that person's life, that childhood, to know where they are. Yeah. How much less judging just hurts us. It's not hurting them, but it would just be so beautiful if we could not accept, but just be able to encourage. I mean, accept is such a, like, you don't want to I don't know if I want to go in there, but like affirmation, right? It's, we don't want to affirm. Christ never affirmed anyone. He encouraged people. Mm-hmm. He never said, oh, you're perfect the way you are, the way you think you are, the way you've made yourself or the limits you put on yourself. He never affirmed that, but he accepted people and then encouraged them to be better, mm-hmm. which is, I think, the way that we should treat others as well.
Yeah. Something that popped in my head as you were talking is there's a band called Godsmack.
Oh, yeah. They copied Alice in Chains.
Okay. I don't know if the story is true, but why they said Godsmack? Did the guy get beat up by a guy?
No, the Alice in Chains had a song called Godsmack.
Okay. There's something that I've used piggybacking off of that name, Godsmack of Love.
Mm.
Sometimes I believe if somebody that is listening to this is royally struggling right now, they don't feel like they can make it. They have some even suicidal thoughts pop in their head. I would just encourage them to know that God might be loving you in a way that you don't see. Like he might be breaking you so you could actually have true enlightenment of what is actually important. And I have been there, really dark moments, like where I'm not even motivated to do the things that I love. It's like a burden to do those things, and you don't want to get going with things. It's just darkness. And there was about a month where I was not sleeping. Like it was going 2 to 4 days of zero sleep, and it was not good. I'm not going to go into specifics, but I remember praying, saying, what am I supposed to do? I'm in a situation where I don't need to work. I love to work. I will constantly always be doing that, but that's not a thing. I hope that doesn't sound boastful. It's just there's idle time, yeah. Right? There's a blessing in having that situation, but there was idle time, and you are playing in Satan's kitchen and in your ego's kitchen, right? Mm-hmm. Just screwing around. And I remember just going, what do I got to do? What am I supposed to do here? I don't want to do anything. And I like all these, because it's when you get in this dark space, you only choose to see the negative in your life.
It's true.
And then I hadn't slept. I think this was day 4 of zero sleep. So you're actually playing.
Dude, this is bad.
It's very bad.
This is bad.
Yeah, your mind plays tricks on you. You're hallucinating. It's not good. So it's just darkness. And I'm just like pleading. And I get this very simple answer. Go be an Uber driver. And then I sit there, I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing that. Now, what do people find out? Like, I'm like struggling. I remember, I hate to say this, like my first thought is if the ladies think I'm poor. This is my first thought. And it's embarrassing to say, I'm just being real. I'm just a dude.
That's what I thought. I'm like, I don't have to be an Uber. What would people think of me?
What will they think about me?
And there's nothing wrong with being an Uber driver. It's ridiculous that we think that.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you why. So that's my first thought.
Yeah.
Oh, what if people find, what if they think I don't have money? What?
Who cares?
Then I'm going, what if I drive people that done motivational speaking for, then the rumors are going to spread Trey's really struggling. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. Father, what am I supposed to do? I just told you, fool.
You just didn't say it. Yeah.
I'm talking bro talk, but he's just, I just told you what to do. Okay. Yeah. Well, think about it. So this is about 3:30 a.m. 4 a.m. that day.
That's when the best decisions are made.
Yeah. 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 So I sit on it, and I remember at about 8:30 comes around, and I grab my phone and I download. I'm sorry. It would be about 4:30 actually. I pull out my phone, I download the Uber thing, and then they asked for information. They said, we're going to do a background check. We'll be back to you in 5 to 7 business days. I end up getting a notification that I'm cleared to drive.
Like that same day?
The same day at about 8:30. And they're like, you're supposed to watch some videos before you do it. I'm like, I'm not that type of guy. So I'm just like, what do? You pick them up and you drive them someplace. So if you go to the app, it just says go. And I'm like, I'm such a curious George, dude. I'm like, go. And then I get like the ting, and it's a Chili's.
Dude, if you weren't so tired and so broken, you wouldn't have done this.
Maybe not. So
you had to be so tired. Delirious.
And I probably shouldn't have done it. And I got in my car and I picked up three people from Chili's. They were absolutely hammered. But we actually talked about God.
Your first drive.
And at the end of it, they said, this is the best drive we've ever had. And they're like, how long have you been doing this? So I'm like, you're the first one. And they're like, are you serious? Anyway, they gave me a $20 bill. I'm like, oh, this is cool. And I was like, that wasn't so bad. But then it hit me like, I shouldn't be driving right now.
Because you're like delirious.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so I went back home. But this night, I slept for 4 hours. Not that's great. 3 or 4 hours. And then when I woke up again, I'm like, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore. What if people
find out? Same concerns. That happens in our life. The same concerns.
This time it was like, what? Somebody's going to see me that I know. And then they're going to. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I go on. I do it. I end up doing it. And the nightmare happens where I can't remember who it was, but it's somebody that I had been in an audience that I spoke at. And
mm-hmm. They recognize you. You're saying they recognize you?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And anyway, picture taken. I'm sure you sent it someplace. And I'm just like, oh. But this was the thing where I'm going, so what can I learn from this? I remember I wanted to, like, I don't know, romanticize this. Like, I'm in this holy cause and whatnot. But you can't do that. You're just a dude. You're not above anything, right? Mm-hmm. You're just doing this. And at that point in time, I'm like, I'm going to be just brutally honest. And I'm going to do what I do. So in the meantime, I'm going to the men's groups and it's okay, 12 step. I'm going to do the 12 step program. I'm going to start that. So I got my 12 step books because anybody like that thinks that, oh, you have to be an alcoholic or blah, blah, blah. You can put in like mine is you're not enough. So when it's alcohol, it's I'm not enough. That's what I swap it out. It works for anything. And I've got my books, my notes. So as I'm doing these drives, I'm working in between drives on myself, reading stuff, doing phone calls, doing the men's group meetings, having beautiful conversations, feeling the spirit. And as people are coming in on these rides, the conversations that we are having are absolutely divinely driven. If I said that correctly, mm-hmm. would be my English. People over and over said, I needed to be here. And I finally just said, I know. How do you know? God told me. And we'd have these conversations where these people, it was all walks of life, all types of denominations, different religions, all different shades of brown. We're just talking. It's like God was almost talked about, I'd say 75% of the drives. And then I would say, here's my 12-step book. And they're like, I need to do that. Here's another thing that's very interesting. So my car qualifies for a premier car, yeah. right? And what's interesting is when I would get a premier, you know, drive, yeah. you can put notes in where the rider would say, I don't want to talk. I know I want my AC at this. Ask me if anybody that said, I don't want to talk, talked or didn't talk. I mean, those guys that didn't want to talk, talked the most and were struggling the most. And these were the rich guys and gals. Gosh. And just being vulnerable with them and talking about certain things and just feeling the spirit of God all over the place while doing Uber driving. And there I am sitting there, you know, talking about my pride. Then you see, like, through the hell that we experience is when God is going, I love you so much that I have to break you, buddy. I've got to break you so you can better understand what some of my children are going through.
Yeah.
I love you and I'm breaking you. Stick with it. I'm here. I'm always here. I love you. You're going to screw up some more and I still love you, buddy. Keep trying. So when you're in that state of brokenness, I am now so broken that here I am, the eggshell, it's just cracked. Here I am, guys. Here's my 12 step. Here's the stuff I'm working on. And we're having conversations that it's literally the hand of God is in Uber driving. It's not about monetary value or money. That's nothing compared to the wealth I received in a spiritual sense, connecting with people. And I realized, Eric, like, there are so many people struggling right now because we're in this place right now. There's too much information. There's too much access, too much. Mm-hmm. It's unattainable, this perfection. Now we've got AI. Now we've got all these filters. I think filters are absolutely of the devil. I will never let up on that. Mm-hmm. I've got three daughters, right? It's unattainable. It's not real. But it was a reminder like, okay, we got to come together. Even though a lot of these individuals had different faiths than me, there's certain denominations that may have butt heads with my faith. Things are different now where we are like coming together going, okay, there is a war happening right now. I mean, it's been happening forever, but there's like this, the adversary is trying to separate us like never before. And it's like, I have loved seeing people that have that higher power, Heavenly Father, whatever it is. We got to come together.
Dude, that's totally happening right now.
Oh, yeah.
The line is being drawn and denominations and the small separations are falling by the wayside. And it's like Christ.
Yes.
It's like we're uniting Christ. Dude, it is so real. Dude, I am so proud of you that you were humble enough to accept something that you never would have chosen on your own.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
You can even feel my ego going, no, man, yeah. I would never do. Like, I even right there get to work on, yeah, man, thank you for saying that.
But how cool is it that you trusted God and like you trusted a plan that you probably didn't see any, like, how could good come from this? And so you trusted him, you put your ego aside, and like the wealth of spiritual experience that you have, which you're going to have hard days. You're probably still on hard days.
Oh, yeah.
But that's like, I call those like anchor points in my life. Those things I can't deny. That was like God lifting me up and saying like, you're on the right track. Like, I'm proud of you. Like those moments are locked in and that's what you've created is this like incredible gift. And now you know the pattern of being broken and trusting him to get you through to grow. That's priceless, right?
Oh yeah. There's been a lot of moments where I am really frustrated with the big man upstairs, you know, however you want to say it. But a reminder to those that are struggling, it's like you'll get through it and it will make sense. Because I can't tell you how many times during those moments of absolute pure hell, I didn't deserve that. You know, my ex-wife and I could not have kids naturally. And I'm seeing all these other people that I think I'm better than, that I'm more spiritual than having babies. Mm-hmm. And we can't. And doing in vitro, losing kids, like just not seeing the little flicker of the heartbeat in the womb taken. And then just this frustration, but it's like those moments of hell create so much enlightenment. So now I have three daughters, these three miracles that I absolutely, most likely, no, let's not say, I do value them far more because it took so much more work to get these three divine, just, oh my gosh. And then when I see other families that are struggling, I get it. Because when you're going through the hell, you might be the only person that can talk to that one person. And you just know that it's God going, I told you, you got to experience this because somebody else down the line is going to need you. Mm-hmm. And you'll understand. And yeah, it's like you just appreciate things more. None of us watch a movie that whoever's the main star just gets what they want.
Yeah.
That's just not fun. I want to see the guy, the hero's retreat, the pain, the suffering, and then they make it. But I don't like when it says happily ever after. We could talk about that.
Yeah.
It's just being real.
going back to the gym when I went late that day, I felt prompted to go. You were a changed man from the last time I saw you in all the good ways. And dude, thank you so much for coming on. I want to give you the last word. You've said so much, but if there's anything unsaid that you want to say in wrapping to our brothers out there who are struggling, or I'm just going to give it to you. But once again, thank you so much. And I'm honored to be your friend.
I appreciate that. That's very kind. I just want to tell you how stoked I am and proud of what you're doing. It's a brave thing to do, and it's the right thing to do.
Thank you.
What would be my final word here? Man, there is a lot that I would love to say. But I think what's just popping in my head right now is, like, you are exactly where you need to be. And it may hurt. And I'm talking to myself. There's no pedestal here. Like, I've had dark days. And I'm really just focusing on being present. Be present and notice the blessings that you do have. And when you're in a dark moment, call somebody. Call a friend that will cheer you on and will not enable you either. Those are the people that I spend time with and pray. Even when you think you're not worthy, that's exactly when you should. Because I'm the king of going, you don't deserve. No, man, that's not how it works. Just think of the two dudes on the side of Christ, when they're the guy that just recognized Christ. You will be with me in paradise today.
Amen, dude. Thank you so much. You're a stud.
If you liked this episode, I'd be so grateful if you wrote a review and shared this episode with a friend. And if you're looking for more ways to include God throughout your day, check out some of my recent music I created in partnership with Skylight. These tracks are designed to bring peace, calm, and healing. I'm going to play one of my tracks right now, and you can also listen to more from the link in the show notes.